that if you mention servant, somebody suddenly thought, oh, it's a slave. Jesus didn't call us slaves, he called us friends, he called us brothers and sisters, and that we're the servants of him as he became the servant of us. And so it's something that we have to realise, or that maybe we are realising and not necessarily know in our own mind, that we're realising that, you know, the word servant means something different to the word slave. And Jesus didn't call us slaves, he called us servants. And that there's a great importance in that, of realising that as we together work in the kingdom of God, we are servants to honour one another, to assist one another, to support one another, that we will push through, we will break through and bring God's word and release God's word into this world and see the kingdom of God being established. But it's about that servanthood, not about a slave mentality. And the problem is, if you start talking to people about, you know, well, I'm a Christian and I follow the Lord Jesus. Well, some folk have in the past have quoted the non-Christians have said, well, you know, I don't want to be a slave of God. I'm going to be a servant of the devil, basically. And they've tried to imply that we are the ones who are, you know, in bondage. We're the ones who are held back from doing what we want to do, etc. And that's been the world's attitude. But we've got to realise that, you know, God's in partnership with us. That's the thing. And it is about partnership. And God wants the church to partnership to move forward in a greater way, to see the kingdom of God happening in people's lives. So that was one thought that just sort of came out when I was sat there, that we're not slaves, we're servants. And we're not pressed into servanthood, we volunteered for it. You know, we stood at the door and said, Lord, pierce my ear. And that's when a servant comes to the... That story comes in the New Testament, when the servant comes to the end of his 7 years of serving, that he can be released, he has a choice to make. He chooses whether he wants to go out back into the world system, or whether he wants to stay with his master permanently. And if he decides he wants to stay with him permanently, then he then takes him to the door and takes his ear, puts it against the door and puts a hole in it and puts a ring in it or a seal in it that says now he's a servant forever to that household. And that's where the Lord wants you and I, in that situation, that we're volunteering, we're saying yes, Lord, and that we don't have our free will to do what we want to do. We have to do what he says that we need to do.
I just think while you're talking about the one chap who was rescued from
Iraq.
And so the kind of words that were being called this last week is foolish and irrational, and people are now questioning about being a pacifist again in the war. In during the wars, you know, you criticise, won't you, if your conscience is kept. Now they're saying we're foolish if we want to be peacemakers, but that's what Jesus said we were to.
Well, Jesus, yeah, he said, blessed be the peacemakers.
So it's interesting how, as Christians, we get labelled according to other people's views, don't we? I think it came from the general, didn't it? General, somebody had claimed this man hadn't given him gratitude for being rescued.
I don't know. I bet he's free, bless him.
He has, but you know, it's just interesting how, when we're talking about names and how we describe, how it changes, you know, according to what's going on.
Yeah. True, it does. I sort of went through the last chapter of the book and read it two or three times and just looked at sort of the keys to teamwork. Because the way that you and I are going to see things move forward is by working together as a team. Now, I know he's taken the the subject of American football team, and to some of us, maybe not all of us, it's a bit of a well, I don't really know what he's talking about in certain areas, but what you have to do is you have to go through the book and you have to underline things and ring things, and so that actually you can point them out, you can sort of put a bit of a thread through, really. So and I just made some little notes for maybe to help, really. One of the key things that we're to realise, nobody wins the game on his own. None of us, God didn't create any of us to be an island, to live on our own, to be isolated. And if we're to be successful in the things of God, then we need to be moving forward together. Jesus took his disciples with him. He even took the disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, they were right. They were with him basically just about to the end, and so it's that support and that carrying on. And we know it right at the crisis of all things, they left him, but they weren't equipped to go that extra mile in that sense to see him through that. He had to carry that through on his own. And there are some things that we as individuals have to carry through, because that is part of our growing and our developing and strengthening. But a lot of the times it's together. The word talks about a cord, a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. And so that on your own, one cord can easily be broken. But you take the same thickness of cord and you wind it together. And you wind it together, and it doesn't just become three times stronger, it multiplies. And that's the thing. And as scripture says, one can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight. And so it's that team effort, that teamwork, that so often the devil would seek to intervene against, he would seek to drive wedges between, and he would seek to prevent people working together as a team to bring in the things of the kingdom of God. And that's one of the devil's biggest ploys, to bring division. He has a major part in church life and in family life to bring division. Because if he can bring division in a family, he's got a family at war. And it will bring destruction on that family, because the cords are not wound together. There can be individual cords, and so you can tackle one cord at a time and break it. Whereas if the cords are bound together, he's not tackling one cord, he's tackling the 3, 4, 5, whatever it happens to be, and they are much stronger. And so he has a great difficulty in breaking that family, that church, the leadership, and so he has a real struggle. And it becomes a team that is strong in God. And a family unit is a team that has to stay strong in God. Head coach is the Holy Ghost. He tells us our games play. He listens to what the Father is saying in heaven, and he speaks to us and tells us the game plan, the things that we're to do. The quarterback's the pastor. I didn't understand all this American thing, football, but I gather the quarterback is like team captain, is he? Oh, right. I thought we were being at States of,
He throws the ball, so.
He throws the.
Is at home, but
so, right, so he's the. Right, so, and he's the one throwing the ball, is he?
Yeah.
So he's the one, he's got to know where everybody is. And he tells them what the team play is, and that word is then passed along the team, so everybody gets in position, and then they do the call, and then they all run in their all different directions, and he knows where. Which one is going to be throwing at? Right, okay. There you go. You see, you've learnt it already. You see, now we can all go and play American football. So again, it's the vision and knowing the vision's the ball and just being able to throw it in the right direction and drop it in the right person's hands to run with that at that point in time. points to remember. Pastors have been frustrated, bruised, hurt, and even knocked out of the game. The quarterback, if you I don't know if you, I think American football is often on late at night on TV, early hours in the morning. The only time I see it, I think, is when I go to the States and Kerry watches it, and I sit there thinking, I haven't got a clue what they're doing. But some of it looks a bruising game, you know. It's and you see the guy who's got the ball sometimes, and they sack him in the sense that the guys from the other team are able to get through, break through the defence, and get him before he can throw the ball. And that's called, they've sacked him, you know, they've caught him, they've held him down, and he takes a real hammering at that point in time. And the responsibility of the team players in that area of defence is to protect him, so that he can actually help the team progress down the field by throwing the ball a distance or passing the ball so that they make a certain type of play. And B, secondly, the quarterback, the pastor, can't do his job, do a job on his own. You know, it's each and every one of us in our gifted place. That's what it should be. The other thing it says, that I've said, is the quarterback, the pastor, must take time to huddle. When they huddle, they're planning what they're going to do next. Aren't they? You know, so that they're in this huddle, and so that nobody else knows, nobody can see. You know, the enemy's not supposed to be able to get in there, the other team's not anywhere near, and you're huddling together, in that you're planning, you're praying together is one way of huddling together. Sharing together in close fellowship, so that it brings a bonding and a together in the presence of each other.
Staff have huddles, don't
they? I don't know. Yeah,
it's
because it's American company, isn't it? Yeah.
That's what they do as well.
So, you know, we'll have a huddle then at work tomorrow and plan the next move, you see. But, you know, it's about developing the next stage where you're going to, and sort of, and it's bringing that bonding together and encouraging one another. The ball must be advanced. If someone has the anointing, the point that I brought out here for me that I felt should be important to us, if we to advance, the ball is the game play, if you want it, that's got to be advanced to the other end of the field. Sometimes the way to do that is, if someone has the anointing, follow it at that point, if they're in tune with the Holy Ghost. You know, follow that anointing. It's not necessarily at times going to be, the pastor might not be at that place just there and then with that anointing, for that the Lord might have given you that anointing and you might be just following it on. You might have that anointing to just move it forward. And so this is something that when we were taking young people away a number of years ago, there were three of us who were key in the weekend leading the meeting, the worship side and the plannings of the event. And one of us would be maybe majoring on initially leading the meeting, and then one of the others would suddenly say, I just feel that we ought to do this. And so the leader then at that point would then say, okay, if that's what you feel that God is saying, then the anointing, it must be on you to do that. So if I was the first one leading, I'd sit down and say, okay, the anointing's on you, then you do it. Because there's no point in trying to do something instantly like that that is passed on second hand in one sense. You have to then let that person move in, because then you follow that. And you're able then, if you want to follow into that flow of that anointing, be able to rest in that while he pushes forward in that anointing, in the meeting, bringing people closer to the presence of God. And then part way through again, you might suddenly, God might speak to you, gives you that time to listen to his voice as you're moving forward, and you might say, I think we should do this, or God's saying this, or I've got a word for somebody. And then the person at the front would say, okay, if you've got a word, then you bring it. And they would sit down, and you'd then move it a step further again, And it's about having that confidence to share. And it wasn't about titles, it wasn't about positions, it was about getting hold of God. It was about getting hold of the ball and moving it forward. It was about getting hold of God and moving the body further down the field to the goal. That's what it was about. It wasn't about any glory, because when we'd done it the weekend, that was it. We were exhausted, we packed up and went home, we were shattered. But we'd had a great time in the presence of God. And so those are things that we need to sort of look at and focus on in our own lives, and realise if there's an anointing flowing on somebody, let that anointing flow. Don't block it. The devil will try and block it. We've got to let it flow. Associate ministers are gifted by God to run with the vision and effectively communicate it to the people. It's about joint communication. Probably the Brits are not the best at communicating at times. And, you have people say, well, it's my business and it's nothing to do with you. Well, we're in one sense, we're trying to develop that family of God that, you know, when you're hurting, people stand with you. When you're sick, people stand with you and pray with you. And so our lives become intertwined with one another. And so we need to, you know, build a level of trust. Have a loyalty that goes beyond feelings. That's come out there. With that, you know, sort of always walking in love. It's not about trying to put somebody down, because that's not what God's word says. God's word says it's about building up, lifting up, and bringing people further forward. A question that, as I was reading through this book, a question that came to me was, are you one of the gifted people? What's your gift? Don't need to answer me, but it's a question I want every one of us to think about. What is your gift in? What is your gift in? We'll move on. We need to be running in the same direction, really. We need to be aiming for the same goal. Not running in the opposite direction of play. That's when problems start. Miscommunications. And those things, we need to be, we must go in the direction of the team. Just as a pastor is set down by the Holy Ghost, and if he doesn't listen to the play, then the Holy Ghost push him on one side until he learns to listen. We're not here to do our own thing in any way. We weren't born on this earth to do our own thing. We were born here to serve and to honour God. Because each and every one of us, our life is planned. And that plan is that we honour the Lord Jesus with all of our hearts and with all that we have. And together we see his kingdom established on the earth. And when one person scores, when one person is successful in something, It's a team effort that made it. It's not just because somebody prayed for a dead person and they rose from the dead. It's like, well, it's a team effort, because the kingdom of heaven has been behind all of that. The family of God has been working together in all of that. So if somebody gets healed, it's not about one person and some people try and say, it's my ministry. No, it's not your ministry. God has given it to you. But it's something that we work together to press forward and develop, and to develop others in the ministry. To set down, yeah, to discipline, rebuke, to put to one side, so that, you know, there's a process of, well, we need to talk a few things out. Setting aside, if you want, as well. Taking you out of the field of play. It is, when they set down, the word is taking them out of the field of play. And to some degree, you know, the Holy Ghost can set you on one side. Yeah. And you know, take a time to deal with you as an individual. linesmen, helps of ministry, ministry of helps. Question on this one: can you recognise those with that gifting, and do you fit into that gifting? So, can you recognise somebody with the ministry of helps in this body? Now, the ministry of helps are the backbones and the workhorse of the offence. You know, without the ministry of helps, and we saw this happening with the conference, didn't we? When it came to feeding people, all that food that was prepared and all the work that went into it, the ministry of helps was busy, constantly busy, preparing and planning so that the leaders and the spirit, the people, the spiritual leadership and the teaching was able to sort of focus on what it had to do and not be concerned about waiting on tables. Biblical principle. It's no less a job, and that's the problem, you see. We tend to, if we're not careful, we tend to try and position jobs in importance. But if you remove one of those out of the line of ministry, it stops, or it becomes very difficult to function. And so the ministry of helps is important. It's part. It's like, and there's a story in there about an old, you know, a maid. Well, it's a bit of a story that's sort of about a lady who's prayed for many years for this minister who was this great evangelist, and he gets to heaven basically, and he sees these crowns on the table, and he sees this great big crown, and he's thinking to himself, "Ooh, that must be mine," you see. And he gets called out, and he's called forward, and he's given this little crown. And he thinks, "Ooh, I think there's something wrong here. Shouldn't that one be mine?" And, you know, angel says, "No," he said, "that's somebody else." And then they call out this little old lady, and they give her this great big crown. And he says, "Well, what did she do?" Well, the angel says, "Well, she stayed at home, and she prayed for you every day. And that's what made your ministry." You see, and we don't see this at times. We forget. You know, and we've taught in the past, prayer support is one of the greatest things that can go on day by day. Because sometimes you are praying and you think you're not seeing results, but it is faithfulness, patience in praying for things to come to pass, trusting God. And so, it's not about, and I've said many times, it's not about us standing up front and preaching, because that's over in a short period of time, but it's the consistency of the body functioning in faithfulness. So can you recognise those giftings? Do you fit into those giftings anywhere? We must stay strong to be the backbone of the church, and we must stay built up and have a winning attitude, determined that no evil gets to our pastor. Every pastor and associate knows that they are nothing without the workers, and that's true. We're nothing. Without each other, we don't exist in that sense. Everyone shares in the victory. Teams win through unity, motivation for winning, determination, endurance, practice, and ability. When one wins, all wins. We shall all receive the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And Paul says to us that we are to run the race for the prize. There are not gold medals, silver medals, and bronze medals in God's kingdom. We're all running the same race, and Paul tells us, finish it. It's not about getting past the line first, it's purely and simply about finishing the race. It's not a short sprint, it's being in for the long haul. It's going through the pain barrier. Commonwealth Athletics have been on this last couple of weeks, haven't they? And you've seen some people running. God, And you know, the commentator says right now, you know, they're coming up to that point. This is the pain barrier. They've got to push through this pain barrier, and it's beginning to hurt. And then they put close-ups on these athletes and the pain and the agony that they're going through. And then suddenly they get this surge of energy, and they go through that pain barrier. Some don't. But it's about getting through that pain barrier and getting through to the end and keeping running. And the great thing about when you watch the athletes is that just because first, second and third get there and are over the line, they don't stop and think, forget it, and walk off track. They carry on. Do you know why? They're trying to go for their personal best. So they don't, you know, so it's not about even though they are running to win, their absolute goal is not just purely about winning. It's finishing. And if I can, even if I finish but I don't win, if I beat my personal best, that's a tremendous record. So there's a different attitude and mentality with these athletes. And they've achieved something. They've reached beyond the goal, if you want. And they've got the prize. And so they're working like that to develop. So keys to teamwork, working without offence. I don't know where that came up on here, how high. Always walking in love, walking without offence, walking without jealousy and complaint. You know, it's those sort of areas. And the main reason, and there's scripture reference there, which is in the book as well, Matthew 18:34-35. And the main reason people leave church is because they got offended. It's true. Many people have left a church because they got offended. And the problem is pride got in the way. Many times it's pride. And if it's pride, then we're not walking in love with God in that sense. Instead of dealing with whatever is said and whatever is done, they begin to harbour bitterness, creates an offence in their hearts, and they end up leaving church. And many become backslidden, and yet they don't realise it, and they're trapped in the devil's camp. The second key for teamwork is that use all the talents and abilities. And that's what we want to do, use all the talents and abilities. What talents and abilities have you got? What do you think your gifts are? And what are the important needs? Know that you are important and needed. And that's so often that people can get such a low esteem of themselves in life through the way they've been treated in other situations, and they get such a low esteem, and somebody can say just the wrong thing and their esteem goes back, way back to where they were many years ago, instead of saying, well, no, that's not, you know, that's not what's being meant, that's not what was said. And we're to listen and to realise that if we don't take offence, we're not going to end up feeling that we're having a lower self-esteem. Because the Bible tells us to honour one another and to bless one another. And so it's as we realise that you and I need to sort of look at that in some detail for our lives, so that we keep ourselves uplifted and realising that our esteem is important, and that we esteem one another highly in God. We're important, we're needed, and it's about fulfilling the place and the part that God has called and equipped you for. So some of the questions are, you know, what are you called to do? What are you equipped to do? Don't try and do what you're not equipped to do on your own in any way. Don't try and do something that... Don't try, you know, there are people who say, oh, I've got a calling to do this. And they go out and they make attempts at it, and it's just, and they go out on their own and do it. And they fall down with it so many times. Find your place in the body and carry out that role for the glory of His name. We are called to a lifetime responsibility. It's not just about a whim and a way or an idea. We're called to a lifetime responsibility. And 4, rest in God and let Him lead you into the perfect peace for your life. So those are things we need to be looking at. And whilst we quickly, whilst we're in, stay in the groups that you were in, and just look at the question, you know, as regards, can you recognise, well, for instance, the linesmen ministry, ministry of helps, can you recognise those with that gifting? Do you fit into this gifting area? Have you got a ministry of helps? If so, write it down. Ask somebody, talk as a group, just, you know, what do you, where do you see your ministries? And just see what's coming out there. What gifts do you think you have? What's your giftings? So, alright, just have a look at those. Hey, and don't get sort of all humble and you know, false humility, because that's a waste of time. It's just, be absolutely true. And then if somebody says, well, I don't think you have, then take it in absolute humility and move on. All right.